Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." I just want to encourage us this morning as there's been some pretty passionate, some pretty persistent, some pretty into-your-face type of worship here this morning. And I don't know about you, but every now and then I kind of get caught up between this thing of where is the place of being really passionate and pursuing and that place of entering into rest. Because the scripture says here that the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in him, in you, and you're complete in him. See, it's not like we're pursuing something that we don't already have. It's not like we're pursuing some kind of an intangible, unreachable, untouchable presence or anointing that you don't already have resident in you. And yet there's a cry of our hearts that just says, God, there's got to be more. I know Bob has challenged me throughout the years. Dave, there's more. Dave, there's more. There's just so much more. And, you know, I don't know any way to get the more than at times to be very, very persistent and very much in a pursuit of what's more. And sometimes we don't even know what the what's more looks like. Well, what it looks like is Jesus. What it looks like is he who dwells in you. The fullness. Think of it. Think of it. The fullness of the Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Bodily dwells in our Lord Jesus. And you are complete in him. So there's always this tension between being very passionate and very much pursuing and going after something. And the tension is, you get there by entering into his rest. Now that doesn't make sense to the natural mind. I wrestle with that thing all the time. If I could just be really, really honest with you. I wrestle with this thing about what does it mean to enter into his rest? What does it mean to be a man of rest? What does it mean to come to him, all you who labor and are heavy laden? Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden's light. I'll give you rest to your souls. And there's this tension of somehow I know one thing, that if I settle back into complacency, I'm backsliding. There is no neutral gear in Christ. So what do? Do we get all in a frenzy and find out how to put it in drive, how to put the pedal to the metal? You know, I just want to encourage you that this is a race that's run over a long period of time. And there is a settling into a stride that brings rest. I've never been a runner, but I understand that runners will find that groove, right? Runners will find that place where it becomes a rest to run the race. I want to encourage us this morning, if the passion that Ben is singing with challenges you, well, good. It challenges me too. But I want to challenge, what I want to say is that this passion can only be attained by entering into a rest of a work that is already done, of a Christ that is already in you, who carries the fullness of heaven and resides in you. See, that's the good news of all this. We persevere, we pursue, we go after, and we rest in the journey. there's one secret to running this race that I've just been pondering this week. This race is for dead men. This race can only be run if you're dead. See, when we try to run this race in our natural abilities, when we try to run this race with a self-motivated passion, you're going to burn out really, really quick. But there is a passion of the Holy Spirit. There's something that is released in the inner man through this person, Jesus Christ, that dwells in you. How many know that Jesus was passionate? How many know that he ran the race with passion? I mean, you don't go in to a temple and turn a bunch of tables over, scatter the money all over the place, and then make a whip and start whipping people if you're not passionate. I don't recommend that, by the way. Let's just stand together for just a few moments. And what I want to do is I just want to open our hearts to this rest. Let's just position your hearts in a way that says, Father, I want to come into the stream of living water. I want to come into the stream of Holy Spirit. I have been crucified with Christ, and yet I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me and through me. Father, we want to be dead men here this morning. We want to be people that are dead to the old voices. We want to be people that are dead to the lusts of this world, to the rules, the regulations of the law. But alive to Christ, alive in you, Jesus. Lord, in you we know rest, in you we know peace, in you we know joy. We love you, we love who you are.
In your home. Join the song of the Lamb. Can you hear it?
Of something when Dave was talking about entering into God's rest and his stillness, and that's a fight to be fought to get there. Often I've had this verse in my heart, Psalm 131, my heart is not proud, O Lord, my eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have stilled and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. And I've just thought about that picture because we all have had children and have children now that seem so needy and so wanting, and that's the picture of how we are with the Lord, that we're so needy and so wanting, and sometimes that's all we can think of is what we think we need and what we want from God, or what we want, and we kind of find ourselves led by our soulishness so often, and we just kind of claw and clamor after the things, and we're always at God just kind of hounding him, like, this is what I need, God, to make me feel fulfilled. And the more we clamor and claw at him, it's like the rest is not there. There's just no entering into his rest, and we're like a little child that hasn't been weaned yet. Because once a baby is weaned, it's at peace. It's not clamoring and clawing and tagging after mommy, waiting to be fed. It's at rest because it's been weaned. It's not needy anymore. And so that's to enter into God's rest is to find ourselves in that place where we've just died to that. We've died to that just needing, that neediness, and we've just come to a place of rest in God and said, you know, my soul is at rest. I'm not concerned with that neediness that my soul has. I lay it down, God. I enter into your rest. And that's a process of dying. That's a process that's the long haul process of just dying to those things and going, God, I want your rest.
Yes.
I want your rest. All that stuff is keeping me from entering into that rest. And then he brings us into a place of just taking it from us sometimes. And I always think about something Chris said once to me, Chris Hanna, that, you know, you want something so bad. You just want it so bad. You can't, you're almost obsessed with it. And then God somehow puts you through this process of taking it away from you. And when you come to the end of it, you don't need it anymore. You're not needy. He's put it to death. He's put that clawing, clamoring thing to death. And then sometimes he even gives it back to you. And at that point you go, that's the thing that Chris said to me, and you don't even need it anymore. But he gives it to you, but it's not because you need it now. You need him. And he gives it when you've come to a rest and you're just going, need that thing anymore to fulfill me. I need you, Jesus. And so yes. When we find ourselves in that place of feeling like things have been taken away or things are being ripped out of our lives that we just need and we're hanging on to, it's a process that God's got us in of dying to that thing that we've put before him. And in the end, when you come to that point where you're like, I'm free of that need. I'm free, God. I'm weaned. I'm at rest. Then he gives it to you. And you go, I didn't really need it, but thanks, God. But we're in a death process that we might come into that place eventually of God's rest and his peace.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated if you want to. Thank you, team. Yeah, give them a hand. I was just seeing something that I think is really relevant. I was seeing a vision of a headstone, and on the headstone it said RIP, you know, rest in peace. And then I saw that transferred to my forehead. How about a headstone that says RIP, rest in peace, you know? The biggest battle we fight is right in between our ears here, and that's where we got to find some rest. Oh, Jesus is good. Jesus is so good. I want to welcome guests, visitors. If you're here for the first time, you've never been here before, would you mind just raising your hands, standing? We just want to recognize you, welcome you. Anybody here for the first time? Welcome, welcome. Okay, and there's somebody over here. Welcome. We do trust that you'll be touched by God. We believe we serve a God who is very, very available and probably more willing to meet us than we are to meet him. A God who is very passionate about mixing it up with his kids. A God that loves to get on the floor and wrestle. And when my kids were smaller, I can't do it anymore, but I used to get on the floor and I'd lay on my back and we'd do something called tricks, you know, where they'd stand on my hands and I'd lift them up. Obviously, I can't do that anymore. And I'd be on my back, and then we did a trick where I'd actually transfer from my hands onto my feet. Now, if you can get that picture, I can't even think of doing that anymore. But that's what we used to do, and I just somehow feel like we can tend to make things a little bit too sterile with God, that he just likes to mix it up with us some. And wouldn't it be great to have a relationship with the God of the universe where he's really a daddy who just loves to play with you, loves to get into your heart, get into your mind, get into your life, and just have fun with you? I'm reverting. I'm going back to my second childhood. It's kind of a joke, but I tell my kids, you know, I had my time changing your diapers. You're going to end up changing mine now, so. No, okay, no. Just the thought of that's gross. But in the spirit realm, I am utterly needy, utterly desperate. Good stuff. Well, no video announcements today. Come on, kids. Aw. There are a few things. I just encourage you to read your bulletins. Family group night. If you're a little bit newer here and you really haven't found a place to plug in, on Wednesday nights, every other Wednesday night, I think it's the first and third Wednesdays, the adults will meet. Well, I guess we just changed it. They're meeting in the fellowship hall, and the kids are then released into Sunday school type, you know, just ministry times. The adults talk about marriage, things that pertain to family, things that really we all need to just fellowship in and talk about, and kids are off having a great time. They're being taught by people who love them, and the youth are in here. They've taken over the sanctuary, so good time. A lot of stuff happening. I want to encourage you, if you haven't found a place to plug in, I really, really am a firm believer in being involved in something other than a Sunday morning. You know, if this is the extent of your fellowship with the body of Christ, if this is it, I want to just maybe suggest that, as nicely as I can, that maybe you're a little bit impoverished, hungry, a little bit lean, because we need each other. I'm going to be talking about that a little bit later, the importance of having fellowship with one another, the love that's in the body of Christ. Mercy Ministries, Saturday Night Fires. Oh, goodness, volunteers needed. Spring Work Day. There is a time to fellowship while you're doing some work. So encourage you to read your bulletin. There is one other thing that I wanted to announce is, as you know, we've been going through a bit of a transition with our worship teams. Lynn Estensen has asked for a six-month sabbatical, and she has stepped back. Her and her team have stepped down, too. And we're just going through some things. Luke Anderson is going to be heading up the worship ministry. Luke has a great anointing and a great passion for worship, and he's just got some desire to release some things. But one of the things that we're doing is actually something we used to do, is if you have a desire to be on a worship team, and I know a lot of people have asked about it, people have talked, you know, hey, how do I get on the worship team? We're putting a process back in place that we used to have that we need to get back into. And that is, you can talk to Luke, you can talk to probably Ben, myself, and we have a an application to get on the worship team. And you can fill out that application. As you fill out this application, if there is a need, as there's need, the worship leaders will hold auditions, they'll check you out to see if you're a fit for their team. See, there's something more to being on a team than just, well, I want to be on a team. There's a jiving together, if you understand. If you've ever played on a worship team, if you've ever played in a band, you understand that there is a connectedness that needs to happen. And all those things need to be considered as the teams talk about bringing somebody else on. But what will happen is, as there's a need, these applications will then be put in a file and for kind of a pool. And as there's need, they'll draw out of the pool. So I want to encourage you, if you've been wanting to get on a team, take and fill out an application. We'll have some of those. Another thing kind of in the way of announcement, but we've got some guests with us. Luke, what did you decide? You all four want to come up, or is it just you? Just you? Okay. Luke Erickson, come on up. Luke and Brittany are part of a ministry called, or they've actually headed up, birthed, a ministry called United Outcry, and he's going to explain a little bit about that, but I just want to encourage us as a body that this is part of the church in Elk River.
Yeah.
You know, they go to Gateway Church, all four of them sitting there. You know, our drummer today is from Gateway Church, and their wives are sitting there, and it's just a pleasure to have them with us today, so. Welcome them.
Thank you. Like I said, my name is Luke Erickson, one of the founders of United Outcry Ministry. I'm just going to explain the ministry real quick here. There's three points to our ministry. One is uniting the ministries and the churches of the city and the body of Christ. We believe our mission and our goal is to break down the walls of division between churches and ministries and all come together and do what we're supposed to do, be one body and to proclaim the word of God and to save the lost. And so that's one aspect of our ministry. Another aspect of our ministry is called blending the generations. And now,
excuse me, Luke, can I do one thing? Oh, I'm sorry. Kids, you're released. I'm sorry.
Well, that's totally
go
fine.
Ahead.
So the second aspect of our ministry is the blending of the generations. We believe that my generation is in dire need of your generation. We need your mentorship. We need you guys to be on our side. We also need to be on your guys' side as well. And so we've done a couple of things. We have something called the Timothy Project, and it is just a time of just teaching and equipping youth and young adults. Our ministry is geared towards youth and young adults. And so the Timothy Project just gets the older generation a chance to become spiritual fathers and mothers and to mentor us younger kids, our younger generation, because we're in dire need of that. And then the third part of our ministry is to continue on what you guys have already done. And I know a lot of people in here have worked hard in their faith and worked hard in this city and in your churches to, you know, proclaim the word of God and to really get to the point where we are at right now. And a lot of prayer has gone into that. And we as a ministry, being the younger generation, feel that it is our call to continue what you guys have already done. We don't want it to end with you guys and then us having to get a group together and restart and just start praying and then get back to the point where you guys are now. And we just want to take on from that spot. And so Bob put it to me earlier really nicely. He said that your guys' ceiling would be our floor. And so, I mean, that's what we're really hoping for. I mean, we want to continue on what you guys have done. And so what we have decided to do, we start this thing called the Outcry 2010. This one we did last year was 2009. But I'm just going to quickly read in our bulletin here what we have. United, this is what we desire. This is our heart's cry, to be united as one body of Christ under the cross. The Outcry 2010 is a two-day conference by the Church of Elk River, for the Church of Elk River. Though we all come from different kinds of churches, we can unite around common goals of seeing God glorified in our city. Outcry 2010 will be a time of worship, teaching, and equipping. New friendships will be made. A greater love for each other will be formed as we tear down the walls that once divided us. We have special guests coming to Jared Anderson from New Life Church in Colorado Springs. He is also one of the leaders of Desperation Band, if you guys know who that is. Jared has a heart for the local church and will be leading worship both nights of the event. We'll also be having pre-service prayer and worship led by pastors, singers, and musicians from all over the community. Now, really, our heart is to unite the city, unite the church. And we're not about coming into Living Waters ministry and taking over or changing what you guys do or telling you guys you're doing something wrong. Our heart is just to come alongside of you guys and that there'd be a Holy Spirit binding between our ministries and that we can work together and say, you know what, people, you know what, church, city, that we are one body, that the body of Christ is one and we are not afraid to proclaim it. And so with this event, starting out at the beginning of summer, especially for a lot of youth and young, especially for a lot of high schoolers, starting beginning of summer and stuff. And so we just want to proclaim it. And we're asking for your guys' help, okay? Just your guys' help and your guys' support and just uniting the churches. And so the website. All right, you guys can go to our website. It's called the Outcry 2010, and it'll give you a lot more information on what this event specifically is. We have flyers out in the back. Outcry2010.com. Sorry, 2010.com doesn't work. Outcry2010.com. All right, so we have flyers in the back out there as well. They're the same flyers as these. They'll give you more information. We are selling tickets. The tickets are in order right now, but you can pre-order tickets. They're $20 for two nights, and so we just hope you guys will come. All right, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Luke. Need my security blanket here. One of the things concert, that coming together is on one of our Saturday night fire meeting nights, but we're going to cancel our Saturday, well, not cancel it. We're not canceling anything. We're going to move our Saturday night fire from here over to Gateway Church. And I want to encourage you, those of you that haven't made it to the Saturday night fire meetings, they have just been amazing. There's just such an incredible release in the Spirit. That is a regional meeting. It's a city meeting. It's not restricted to Living Waters Church. One of our passions, one of our desires is to see revival released in the city and in the region. And that's really what that meeting is about. And that meeting is about equipping the saints to be able to be prepared to do the works of the ministry that that an awakened soul walks in. The dates for the United Outcry was June 12th, I believe, 11th and 12th. It's a Friday and Saturday. Okay, so and what a privilege to join with these guys and do that. And it's going to be fun. Alice, come on up.
All right. First things first, if anybody needs an envelope, or raise your hands, or our ushers will ush one right to you. And if you're not going to use this, why don't you just throw it in? Let's be green. We're all about that, aren't we, Bob? No. But just throw it in the offering basket. Just kidding. I want to do two things today. I want to reread Psalm 112. Some of you weren't here when we started. And I just want to address Psalm 112 again. Read it again. It says, "Praise the Lord. How blessed is a man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth." How many of you want descendants that are mighty on earth? "The generation of the upright will be blessed." Amen. "Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. It is well with the man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment, for he will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. He will not fear evil tidings." This is a season where we've gotten a lot of evil tidings around the world. We don't need to fear them. "His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is upheld. He will not fear until he looks with satisfaction on his adversaries. He has given freely to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. The wicked will see it and be vexed. He, the wicked, will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish." Amen. And Henry, are we ready to go? This is going to be interactive. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, and we are going to make this proclamation, this declaration this morning. If you'd read that with me, please. Father, as we receive today's offering, we are believing you for heaven opened, earth invaded, storehouses unlocked, and miracles created, dreams and visions, angelic visitations, declaration, impartation, and divine manifestations, anointing, gifting, and calls, positions and promotions, provisions and resources to go to the nations, souls and more souls from every generation, saved and set free, carrying kingdom renewal. Thank you, Father, that as I join my value system to yours, you will shower favor, blessings, and increase upon me, so I have more than enough to co-labor with heaven to see Jesus get his full reward. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father God, we believe that our favor is for your kingdom. We believe that, Lord, and we want to cooperate with you in every way we can. And Father, today I pray that whatever you put on our hearts, that we will put in the basket. And Father, if there are some here who aren't able to do that, I ask for a blessing upon them. It's for your kingdom, your glory, Lord God. And Father, we believe your word, that we are to give to the poor, that we are to honor our leaders, that we are to be the church. Father, we ask for a bigger sanctuary. We ask for a bigger sanctuary called the world. We ask, Lord God, that we could go from this little chapel out into the great chapel, the chapel of the world, and proclaim the name of Jesus and bring forth what you want to bring forth for your kingdom's sake, Lord. And I ask now that you'd bless the offering. And Lord, I would just like to declare that this summer is not going to be a summer of lack, as so often happens in statistically in summers. But Father, that this would be a summer where we would more than meet the needs that we have in this church and in the community and for missions now, in Jesus' name. Amen. And ushers, if you'll come up. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Ellis. Thanks so much. How many realize that everything that we declared on that reading this morning is a provision in the kingdom of God? There isn't anything we're reading there that is just kind of that really doesn't pertain to us. That's all very, very relevant and promises that are from the Word of God, something from the kingdom of God for provision for your households, for our households, for the kingdom. Really excited. Next week, Susie and I are going to be down in Caledonia. Bob is going to be speaking. And what? Yep. Yeah. Yeah, we'll get it. Thank you. She knows me all too well. The week after, Alice is going to be preaching. Yeah, and I just so appreciate Alice and what she releases into a body and what Bob releases into a body. You know, I am just so appreciative of the many voices in the body of Christ. If you guys had to sit and listen to me every single week, your scope of the kingdom would be very, very narrow. I appreciate that Bob takes us over here and Alice takes us out here and different speakers that we have come to the house. The perspective that Luke brought this morning, what Kathleen brought this morning. See, there's this variety in the Word of God that needs to be released. And I'm so very, very aware that I carry an important part, and I have an anointing to carry a certain part, but I'm very, very aware that there's so much more than just what I carry, and I so appreciate the different voices in the body of Christ. There's another voice. Come on up, guys. The youth. And they're going to do a skit. They're going to bless us with a drama here today. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Whew. Wow, good job, guys. Mm-hmm. Ah, does the salvation story ever get old? You know, the truth of it is that all those demons were just a facade. You know, your sin, even as believers, your sin cannot separate you from God. You know, that's a bit dangerous for a pastor to say, because what people can interpret that as meaning is that your sin doesn't matter. And your sin does matter. See, there's something that happens that the facade, the confusion of the demons, that when you give them a foothold into your life, it brings confusion, it brings deception. And it brings a something that doesn't allow you to clearly see Jesus. So it is very, very important that you walk in righteousness. And so I'm please hear me, I'm not saying that. But those demons can't keep you separated from God. Did you see the love of God pulling her in? Did you see the strong arms of God pulling her in? I want to encourage you. As the body of Christ, I encourage myself, probably the toughest voices to battle, the demons that we battle, probably the strongest, aren't really dressed in black and have a couple of horns and a long tail. A lot of the demons that we fight are our own voices, voices of your past, voices that say that, you know, you've got failure, you've got issues in your life, and you've tried this before and it hasn't worked. I want to encourage you as the body of Christ that the strong arm of Jesus is pulling you in. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? I'm convinced that there is nothing created that can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. neither height nor depth, principalities, powers. The thing that'll separate you from the love of Christ is your mind, what you believe. If you believe those demonic strongholds are stronger than Jesus, they'll keep you separated. That's a sobering word. You know, that's why we do our best to preach grace here. This is a grace culture. This is a grace-based house. And something that we just so firmly want to preach and teach is grace. You know, when you preach grace as a pastor, it's dangerous. Because all of a sudden, when I quit preaching that there's a club that's going to beat you up when you sin, when you fall, be careful. Don't do it. And when we take that out of our vocabulary, it's dangerous. Because that allows the body then to discover Jesus for themselves. Oh, I love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Can we just stand together? Let's just give him praise. Let's love on Jesus. Jesus, we love you. Let him hear your voice. Let him hear your voice this morning. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We bless you. We thank you, Lord, for your keeping power. Lord, we thank you for freedom. God, we thank you for freedom to make wrong choices. God, we thank you for freedom to make right choices. God, we thank you that your love is so great, God, that you don't control, manipulate, or make us do anything. But God, by your love, by relationship, God, you've called us into a place where we just want to please you. We just want to please you, Daddy. Lord, we want to see your broad smile. We want to see the twinkle in your eye. Oh, Daddy. Daddy, we love you. We love you. We're here this morning, Daddy, to say we love you. God, beyond life's expectancies and the expectations of man, the expectation of position or the world, that we can just simply come as children. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you lay hands on, so let's just take a few moments. Why don't you lay hands on somebody around you? I know this is a bit uncomfortable for some people, but let's just take some time to bless one another. Let's just take some time to be the body of Christ. Give somebody a hug. Let somebody know that Jesus loves them. Let them be the tangible, touching, physical manifestation of Jesus Christ this morning to somebody. Just bless somebody. Encourage somebody in the spirit. Encourage somebody in the inner man. You're the body of Christ. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in you. You're complete in him. You have everything you need in Christ Jesus to bless somebody this morning, to pour out the love, the acceptance, the forgiveness of sin. Father, release, God, just pour out in this body the ability to be the body of Christ. Let your love, Father, just manifest in this place. Jesus, it's about your love. Oh, Jesus, it's about your love. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, I thank you for the love that is in the body of Christ. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, my God. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Yes. Oh, what is breakthrough like? What is breakthrough? What is breakthrough when you get through the cloud that just kind of covers over you? What's breakthrough like when you finally get to that place where you know the love of God, where you know the love of Jesus, where it becomes so real to you, it's in your heart, it's in your soul, that you can't help but to give it away? What's it like to come into breakthrough? Come on, how many want breakthrough this morning? How many want more than what you've had? How many want to come into the love of Christ in a real way, in such a way that you'll give it out to everybody you see, that you can't help but to let it flow out over you? Come on, what's breakthrough like? Jesus! Jesus! We want breakthrough in this house. We want breakthrough of your love, Father. We want breakthrough in our lives, God, that breaks depression, that breaks selfishness, that breaks sin. Oh, God. Father, we want a breakthrough in your love. God, pass that which is normal. Pass that which is familiar. Oh, God, would you pour out breakthrough? Every man, woman, and child in this house, God, breakthrough into a greater place, a greater realm of deliverance, a greater realm of joy, a greater realm of peace, a greater realm of power, manifesting the power of Jesus in our lives. Oh, God. Come on, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come. Oh, land on us with your fire. Land on us with your fire. Oh, wind of the Holy Spirit, come. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Come on, breakthrough and joy. Breakthrough and joy. Breakthrough and joy. Oh, we love you.
I had a vision that didn't make any sense before, but now it makes sense. I was just singing, give us more capacity, Lord, give us more capacity. And I saw that hefty bag, you know, that flex steel hefty bag. And I saw it, and it just kept going further and further and further, at greater capacity. And this is the part I didn't understand. And then it burst. Give us our breakthrough, Lord. Give us our breakthrough, Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
Lord, fill us with your capacity, Lord God, and then break us through, Lord Jesus. More, Lord. Amen. More.
Our sister here, she's hungry. She's hungry. She just wanted to come up here and let the Lord work. Oh, when does breakthrough come in our lives? When does the kind of breakthrough come in our lives where we got to break through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment? Come on, where's the breakthrough come? Where's the tenacity in your hearts that you know that there's more, that there's more, that there's more? Ah, could it be? Could it be that the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in our Lord and you're complete in him? Could it be that everything that Jesus had as an inheritance you have? Could it be that you are joint heir with Christ? And that everything that God loved Jesus with you have? Could it be? Is it possible? Is there potential for that? Oh, come on. What does it take to step into that reality? What's it take? What's the step of faith to step into that reality? Come on. Come on. I'm just going to needle you for a little while here. I'm just going to needle you a little bit. There is more. There is a breakthrough. There is a stepping forward. There is a time where you lose yourself. Breakthrough. 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 Come on. Breakthrough, breakthrough. Father, release breakthrough this morning. Oh, God, everything that hinders, everything that holds at bay, all the shyness, all the stuff that says, no, you can't go there. The lies of the wicked one that says it's not for you. Release breakthrough this morning. Oh, sharala makaraba sandala bake. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just ask for breakthrough. God, this morning, you are a sovereign God. You know the innermost thought. You know the hairs on each head that's represented here this morning. God, that your love is so profound and so sufficient. Release, God, in each of these, each one gathered here, Father. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough in the inner man. Breakthrough for healing. Breakthrough to break depression. Breakthrough to love you, God, to know and to receive love in a new way, in a fresh way, a revelation of your love. Oh, God, the revelation of joy that's in the kingdom, the revelation of peace that's in the kingdom. Thank you, Father. Just release, oh, God. Mix it up with your children. Mix it up with your children this morning. Mix it up with your children this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, your love, your passion, your passion. Whew. Oh, God. There's moms, there's dads here, there's grandmas, there's children. God, each one. Each one, Lord.
Can I go?
You sure can. You go ahead. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, I'm stepping out. This is a prophetic sign of breakthrough.
Yeah.
I'm breaking through intimidation and fear in my own life coming up here, but someone came up to me and said there's something I'm supposed to release, and I've had something stirring in my spirit week after week. And so I'm not even sure, but Lord, I just give you my voice now. And Lord, I just call forth breakthrough. Yeah. I declare the glory of God. I declare your glory, God, to come. Your manifest presence to come now, God. Your glory, we declare your glory. We declare your glory. I declare your glory. The glory of God. 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 It breaks. It breaks through. The glory of God. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's breaking through. It's breaking through. It's breaking through. The glory. The glory. We're going to be glory carriers. Glory carriers are going out. Glory carriers are going out. Glory carriers are going out. They're going to fill the city. They're going to fill the city. The glory of God. The glory of God will fill us. It will fill our churches. I declare now the glory, God. We declare your glory, your manifest presence, God. Your glory. Let it come, God. We're breaking through intimidation. We're breaking through fear. We're breaking through the walls and the prisons that hold us. We declare in the name of Jesus. Breaking, 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 break. I say break. I say break. I say break off. Break off now. Break. Break, break. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Your kingdom come, God. Your kingdom, your glory. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I just want to come on up here, Carrie, for just a second. Whoa.
I just want us to understand something that just happened there. Carrie and Ken have been intercessors in the city for many, many years. And there, you know, when you're an intercessor, it's like you go for things and you go for things, you go for things. Sometimes it can seem like a thankless job. But they have been very, very faithful. When I hear somebody like Carrie get up and proclaim a breakthrough, there's something that has happened in the spirit realm. This won't make sense to our natural mind. It doesn't make sense to the way we think, the way we see, the way we hear necessarily. But what she was praying for, what she was releasing, yes, I'll take it first and foremost. I'm the first one in line. But I want us to know that this wasn't just for us. This was for our city. This was for our region. This is for you guys sitting there from Gateway Church. This is for you guys. This is to be imparted to you. It's for you to take and to run with. And I just want to encourage us that what happened with Carrie was a prophetic declaration that really lines up with what Luke was singing earlier when he was singing, "Join in the dance of the Lamb." Join in with the dance of the Lamb. What that is, that's just coming into an agreement with his joy. That's just coming into an agreement with the voice of the Father. See, when our voices, when the voice of a human being comes into an agreement with the voice of heaven, there are things that are breaking, there are things that are shattering, there are things that are going to change in our church, in my life, in the city. See, we can look at this, and have you ever seen somebody, you know, I love it. I don't love it, but I love it. Have you ever seen anybody take a film shot, like a movie camera picture of people like us? And as you're watching that, don't you think, geez, is that what I really look like? Hey, come on, have you ever been there? You know, and why is it that we'll give ourselves to a sporting event and it's, yeah! You ever seen those guys? They paint themselves all sorts of different colors at 20 below zero. They're in bare, you know, they're, I mean, you know, they're nothing on. Come on. And what's happening here? There's somebody being touched. Jerry's being touched right now. Jerry's being touched. He needs healing in his back. That back must come into alignment with the word of God, with the kingdom of God. He's a man that wants to serve God with his talents, and yet that back has been hindering him. We break that thing in Jesus' name. We release your anointing. We release your power. You know, there's others here that are just being touched by just the childlike revisitation of the kingdom of God. Many of us are way too serious. I'm probably the first one. I'll tell you, I've done battle with this thing called self. I've done battle with this thing called, Dave, look at all of your insufficiencies. Dave, look at all your lack. I've heard that voice so strong. Is there anybody else who has heard that voice that just wants that thing broken off you? Father, we're asking for a breakthrough anointing, a breaking off of that voice that says that you don't have what it takes, that voice that will just proclaim loudly all of your sin, all your failure, all your lack. We break in the name of Jesus. And Father, we release the voice of the King. We release the voice of our beloved. We release the voice of Him who knows what potential lies in every man, woman, and child in this congregation. We release the voice, the truth, over this body. We say no to the lies. We say no, even though they're facts. We say no, and we say yes to the truth that's in Christ Jesus. We say the truth is that back must be healed in the name of Jesus. It must come into alignment with the kingdom of God. There's a woman here being just set free. Father, just release your anointing, God. Release your anointing. Release every bit. Every bit. We just rebuke everything that would want to hinder her from coming to the fullness of the kingdom of God in her life. All fear broken off. Just minister, girls. Oh, Jesus. How much does God love you? How much does God, how much does God love you? Probably one of the hardest things there is to experience is to know the love of God. Paul prayed that we would know the height, the depth, the width, and the breadth of the love of God. I'll tell you, the love of God is getting bigger and bigger to me all the time. You want to know what hinders us? This much, yeah. The thing that hinders us, I believe, above all else, the thing that hinders us from being the body of Christ, from being the mom that you want to be, from being the dad that you want to be, from being the minister that you want to be, from being anything that God has called you to be, is when we don't understand and comprehend and have an impartation of the love of God. Probably one of the things that we speak about more than anything in this house is the love of God. It's because the love of God is foundational to everything that we do, everything that you are. That it's the love of God, that Paul says it's the love of Christ that compels me. It's the love of Christ that drives me. It's the love of Christ that caused Paul to be stoned and to be shipwrecked. It's the love of Christ that caused him to go places that people hated him. And it was the love of Christ. Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, something welled up in his shepherd's heart. He looked upon the multitudes and he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. He saw them as people who just had been harassed by the wicked one, who were walking through this life, who just had never had a connection with God, who had never had a connection of somebody who really cared for their souls. Jesus looked upon the multitudes. He saw them harassed. He saw them like sheep being gobbled up by wolves. See, the thing that I want us to understand here this morning is, can you receive such an impartation of the love of God that when you look upon your coworkers, when you look upon your neighbors, when you look at your children that aren't walking with God, when you see them, can you see them as sheep without a shepherd? Can you know that you're called to be their shepherd? Not the shepherd, you're called to be a shepherd. Now, I'm a pastor, I'm a shepherd. And the thing that I want you to know is that you are shepherds. You are those that carry something for the household of God. As you look around and you see needs, as you see lack, as you see just people who are being harassed, you know that you have what's in you, the love of Christ. The love of Christ that can set every demon running. All these demons that were separating Rachel from Ben. You know that you're the one that can reach into a situation with that, with your authority, the authority that's been given to you. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. Do the works that Jesus said that you would do. Jesus said, if you don't believe me for my word's sake, this is how important the works were to Jesus. If you don't believe me for my word's sake, believe me then for the sake of the works. People recognize Jesus because of his works. People recognize that Jesus, he said, there's nobody around that does the works that you do. Can you teach me? What does this mean? We know that you're come from God. Why? Because of the works. See, and Jesus, when he left, after making a proclamation that the works that he did, greater works will you do than all of these works. And he wasn't just speaking to a select 12 people. He was speaking to Linda. He was speaking to Linda, greater works, greater works. There's greater works contained within this vessel than what Jesus did. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus' works are down here and hers are up here. It just means that there's more works. There's a ton of work out there to be done. And you know what? Jesus isn't here to do them. Except for in you and except for in me. Oh, the wisdom of God. Can you imagine somebody coming up with a plan like God came up for salvation? Can you imagine God, first of all, creating you, creating man, creating woman, and taking the biggest risk he could have ever taken? That God, when he created man, he created woman, he didn't create them as puppets. He didn't create them as somebody that just had to bend to God's every whim and desire. In fact, God set this thing up where he put the good tree right next to the bad tree. He put the good choices right next to the bad choices. And why? Why would God do something like that? I believe it's got something to do with somehow his light is much more glorious and shines a whole lot brighter when it's in contrasted with darkness. You see what I mean? See, you have an opportunity this morning. We can talk about all the darkness that's in the world. We can talk about the shape that our economy's in. We can talk about our present that's making some decisions that you don't agree with. You can talk about everything that's negative, everything that's dark that's going in the world. And you can either come under the influence of that thing, or you can choose to be a light that will shine a whole lot brighter in the face of that darkness. Do you know that what you carry in you can be shining brighter now than it's ever shined before? See, this is good news. This is good news. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good is what the word says. Your good works, the thing that you carry in your heart, the light that you carry, the light that you are, can be much more effective in this atmosphere of darkness that we're presently in. See, and it's the perfect love of God that casts out all fear. It's the perfect love of God that has disbanded you from fear of the darkness. Anybody here afraid of the dark? Not anymore. Is there anybody here who's just being overwhelmed by the darkness? This is real. Is anybody here being overwhelmed by the wickedness that's in the world? Is there anybody here that's being overwhelmed by the economy? Is there anybody here who's just walking in fear because of the darkness that seems to be settling upon our nation? See, and it's very, very real. And we can come under the influence and under the authority of that thing, or we can come on top of it with our own authority that is given in Christ Jesus. This isn't some kind of a, I hope so, I hope it works, I hope it happens type of a theology. This is the theology of Jesus Christ. Jesus, when he was walking, was in an atmosphere of way greater darkness than what you and I are walking in today. I mean, crucifixion's kind of a big deal. You are the light of the world. Nobody, when he's lit a light, hides it under a bushel, but sets it upon a hill. A city that's set on a hill is hard to hide. She needs it. Oh, I thought you were going to get her for me. You can.
What he just said, I felt like the Lord wanted me to share a word that he gave me personally, and he's going to ask you this question also, and he asked me, this is what I heard from the Lord, it's kind of a weird thing, but about being a light, you know, set on a hill, this is a different way, but I heard the Lord say to me, if I called you to be a burning bush, what would that be to you? That's how I heard it. He said, if I call you to be a burning bush, what would that be to you? And I feel like the Lord told me to come up here and ask you the same question. If I call you to be a burning bush, what would that be to you? And I feel like he's asking us if we'd be willing to be burning with fire for him. And ask the Lord what that means for your life, but that's what he told me to ask you.
Yes, thank you, Lord. We've had a couple of bushes that were meant to be burning bushes, and they did their best. But will you be a burning bush? You know what a burning bush is? And she's referring to the bush that Moses turned aside to look at. And when he turned aside to see this burning, this phenomenon, it was something that was not of this world, and Moses recognized it. And he said, I'm going to turn aside, and I'm going to look at this bush, and I'm going to see why that bush isn't consumed. The question that was just asked you is very, very penetrating. What is it in your life that would cause people to take a detour, to take and see what makes you tick. I know this is a bit in your face. It's a bit in my face, believe me. But there is a real sense, in this house especially, and I want us to hear this. If you're part of Living Waters Church, I want us just to hear something here. You are called to be the salt of the world. How's it doing, Jerry? No pain. Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Jerry, come on up once. Come on up here. I just want Jerry to testify because this guy has been missing church for the last 2 months, hasn't been able to do the ministry in the sound booth because his back has been in such incredible pain. Why don't you just tell us what happened here?
Well, I injured my back again in December, and I've been fighting just severe pain and going through all sorts of treatments for it, and nothing's been working. And, I mean, I can barely walk and can't stand on my feet for more than 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and a lot of pain when I'm sitting. And yesterday I could barely walk from back there up here, and I could barely climb up the steps, and now I'm way better. I have no pain.
No pain.
Zero, none.
Wow, thank you. How long has it been since you've had no pain?
Since I was healed a couple years ago.
Wow. Okay.
So.
Yeah, so I mean, in the last
two or three months, December,
you've had continual pain. You've never.
Yeah.
I've talked to Jerry, and I know this. So. But I just want us to understand that the fact that he's standing here and saying that there is no pain is really significant.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's not a little deal.
It's huge. Thank you, Lord. So,
yeah. Let's just extend our hands towards Jerry. Let's bless him. Here's what I want to do.
Who needs it?
I have seen, who needs it? He wants to give it away. But here's the other thing. I want to bless him because here's what I have been finding is that healing, when it comes, I have found time and time again when the enemy wants to come and rob that thing. My knee was healed about a month ago. You remember, and I've testified of it. And I said, well, it's like 80%. I'm going for that last 20%. But I'll tell you what, I continually need to lay hands on my knees and bless them because of the word that happened a month ago. And I've got something to stand on, see? Now, when pain wants to try to come back, the thing isn't to submit to the pain. The thing is to submit the pain to what has happened. Okay, so what I want us to do as a body is I want to extend hands towards Jerry and seal the work that's been done. Can you do that? Let's bless him. And if you need healing for your back, come on up and line up here. Jerry is really seeing something that freely I've received, freely I'm going to give. So we're just going to commission him to lay hands on people that need healing on his back. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless Jerry. We seal him, Lord. We seal his mind. We seal his heart. Father, that this work will stand. This work will endure. God, that this is not just a fluke, not a flash in the pan. It's a permanent work. I command, even now, everything to continue to line up in this back. And, Lord, that it's sealed. Whew, with the truth of your word, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Bless him. Bless him. Bless him. Jerry, why don't you just go through and just release what you don't have to make long, drawn-out prayers. We need some catchers. Some guys, please. Jerry, just come on in front and do what you want to do. I'm sorry. But just release it and then move on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. you want to just sit there?
You're that kind of guy.
You're okay to sit there if you want.
She wanted to try to get up.
Come on.
Ready?
Here we go.
There we go.
Don't think.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have something? Do you have something you want to testify?
Well, I feel like, you know, that I just need to rest.
Okay.
I feel the Lord is telling me, but I need to rest in the
Lord. Okay. Amen.
come on up. Our sister just testified that she just feels like she has really gotten permission to rest in the Lord, and that she just needs to rest in the Lord. So, Lauren.
I'm up here to testify to spiritual breakthrough that I received this morning. This has been my life for 10 years. It's a wonderful, powerful ministry. It's very focused. It's got a very focused mission. And my heart's breaking this morning because I'm being called out of it. And I don't want to go. But this morning, the Lord is releasing me. He's put it into my heart that I need to let this go and step into the larger things that He's got for me. You know. Go figure. I've been praying the prayer of Jabez daily. And He's enlarging my territory. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hang on a minute. I just want to demonstrate something here. You know, what I was seeing as he was doing this, you see, it says bond slaves, and it's a great organization, like he testified. However, even something good like this can become your identity.
Yes.
And there's a place where you need to leave your identity, even if it's a good and a religious identity. If it's something that is bigger to you than the love of Christ and the personal walking out with Christ and a day-by-day confirmation of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, then it's become a god, and it's become an identity that is inferior to the identity of son. Lauren is learning. I believe what's being imparted to his heart is that there is an identity bigger than this, and that's that of son.
Yes. Good word.
Yes. So, Father, we release the revelation of sonship.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh,
thank you, Lord.
Yeah, you go, God. Freedom. Freedom. Oh, freedom comes in every size and shape and flavor and... Thank you, Lord. Juanita needs new hip. Thank you, Father. Just bless. Father, release your healing. You know, I'm really glad God showed up because I didn't have a clue what I was going to preach. Oh, the joy of the Lord. Let the joy of the Lord just fill your hearts this morning. It's the joy of the Lord that's your strength. It's the joy of the Lord that sets you free. There is such incredible healing in the joy of the Lord. Come on, if you've never had a breakthrough in joy, could this be your morning where you just break through in joy, where you get some belly laughs out? There's some belly laughs in here. There's some belly laughs in here. I know that there's some belly laughs going on here. Come on. You know what? And if you're not in the place of belly laughing, I know you're belly laughing inside. I believe that there's a spirit man in you that is just belly laughing. If you can get a picture of that, you don't have to laugh on the outside. But I tell you, the belly laugh in the inner man is setting you free. It's setting you free. Dan is being set free. Ah, oh, Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Oh.
What do I do now, Bob? Oh, Lord. So this is the point. This is the point in the service where I need to apologize to all you that are new here. Say, Pat, can you catch them? Sorry.
I haven't been able to shake a feeling for about the last Good. 5 minutes. Is there is a few who stayed in their seats and wished they'd have went forward when the invitation was given, even though it never was. But the service isn't over yet, and I just sense like there's some would leave here with a little bit of regret, like I didn't go for my breakthrough because I just let my seat hold me. And so the altar's still open. We're not closing the service. Anyone that just has a tinge of, I should have went forward, it's time to come forward. And it's not about coming forward. It's about moving from where you are to where you're going. It's about stepping into the breakthrough. It's about doing what you've never done before to get what you've never had before. It's about doing something different. It's about doing something radical. It's about being beyond who you are and just stepping in by faith into something that you don't even know what it is. By the way, you, former bond slave, you will, there's a principle which I'm still learning since 2.5 years ago when I gave away the leadership to Dave, and that is you cannot have the new thing till you let go of the old thing. And that's what you did this morning.
Yes, yeah.
And that's it.
All right, thank you, Bob. Yeah, I'm glad Bob reopened that. I'm going to release the service. For those of you that need to go, I really like to just be diligent to that. I understand that there are some here that you really need to go, and that's okay. But we're just going to celebrate. Ben is going to sing. He's going to sing Rain Down. How many want to just be rained upon this morning? And let's just give our hearts as we close this service in worship to him.
I got freedom. Nothing. Praise the Lord. Woo-hoo! One more. Alice is praying. She's going to pray for your teeth. And I've had, I don't know if it's TMJ, but my jaw locks up all the time. And she's got her hands on my face like this. And she's just praying. And all of a sudden, I just felt this, her finger move. And she goes, did you feel that? I go, yeah. And I, no clicking, no cracking.
How come nobody's ready to go home yet? You know, Ben would like for a CD to put in, but I've asked him, and maybe he'll cooperate, but I just feel like one of the things that we want to see in worship is just some real spontaneous release of a prophetic anointing. And there's different ways that people prophesy. They prophesy on their guitars. They prophesy on the bass. Dan carries an anointing to prophesy on the drums. And I wonder if just in this atmosphere of joy, if we can't just continue. Let's just tarry. You know, how many remember the old tarrying meetings where you just got real serious and it became a dragged out bummer? I want to tarry in the joy of the Lord. Can we do that? Let's just tarry in the joy of the Lord. Let's just celebrate a little bit longer.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.